Yes, 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 yes. Good morning, everybody. My name is Alan Simonton, and I am the kids pastor here at Grace Hill Community. And I just want to start off by thanking Pastor Michael and Tamara for even giving me this opportunity to speak in big church today. I promise there's no puppets. I know you want puppets and characters and all that, but I didn't bring any of that today. But it is such an honor to be able to come in here and speak to you guys today. Now, I'm a little nervous about it because you guys are kind of scary and y'all are all grown up and stuff. So it's a little different for me being in here, but I'm excited and I'm just honored to have the opportunity. Just a little bit about myself. I'm married to Michelle, who's back here. And hey, baby, that's a good one. We've been married for about 14 years. We have three kids, Caitlin, who's 13, Lucas is 10, and Gracie is 6. And we are just so excited to be a part of the Grace Hill Church family. We started here, our first Sunday here was the first Sunday in this building. So it's kind of just been a God thing this whole time, just how he's brought us here to this church. And I actually didn't grow up in church, around church maybe. I attended a few times as a kid, but not really anything significant, like no relationship with Jesus. In fact, I really didn't go to church until my mid-20s. I had been around it, but I didn't really have a chance or see a need to go, and it wasn't important, and there was really no avenue that I saw that I wouldn't even go. But in my mid-20s, Michelle and I, we were kind of settling down from our party days, and we were starting a family. We had a toddler and an infant. Caitlin was 3, and Lucas was an infant, you would think that things would be all bubblegum and rainbows and all that, but no. We had some issues. And when I say we had issues, I mean more Michelle had issues. I'm just kidding. We had some issues, and the issue was that we didn't know how to strengthen or grow our family. We were moving further apart from each other than closer together than we should have, and that's where kind of God found a way in through this time in our lives. We weren't seeking him, but as we know, some of us, most of us, that he was seeking us. He was chasing after us, and we didn't really know it, but he captured us through a relationship. We got invited to an event. This church had rented out a movie theater, and they bought all the tickets, and they said, invite your friends, and we're going to see The Passion of the Christ. And we had gotten invited to that, and I was like, oh, that sounds pretty cool. I want to go see this movie. I don't know a whole lot about Jesus, but this could be a really cool way to find out, and I love going to the movies, so why not just go? So we did, and we quickly connected with a young couple there, and the kids the same age, and we became friends, and we started having dinners together, and then that day came. That day came where they invited us to church. And it was kind of a big deal for us because we were like, whoa, I don't know about all that. I mean, you know, we've been hanging out, having fun, our kids are getting to know each other, swimming in the pool, having a good time, and then you got to go throw in church. So we had a lot of conversations, Michelle and I had, about this, we kind of decided, we were like, okay, all right, we'll go, but it might just be a really cool way for us to meet people and socialize. You know, maybe that's what we can do, and that's what we'll get out of it. But we had no idea where that would take us. No idea. And maybe you've been there, maybe you're still in that place where you're trying to figure out what church is or what faith is, and maybe why my family is struggling so much no matter how much I pray or whatever I do, and why does it seem like no matter what I do, nothing ever changes for the better. Maybe you ask yourself, where is God in all of this stuff, and how did I miss out on his blessing? my kids never listen to me, and I can't ever get through to them, and they will never change. I will never change. There are no choices left for me to make that will change anything. Well, God must have kind of known that we were going to struggle with this, because he gives us two great examples in the Bible. In the Old Testament, we're going to be in the OT today. That's what I like to do with the kids, OT, not the NT. We're going to be the Old Testament. There's two stories there in the Old Testament, in the book of Joshua, where someone had to make a significant choice for their family, and we're going to look at both of the dramatic results of these choices. Today's sermon, calling it Choose Today, because we're going to look at the choices that they made and the choices that we can make. Oh, that's fancy. I like that. Might have to you start using that. So we're going to be in the Old Testament, in the book of Joshua. We're going to be in chapter 2, but to set the scene a little bit, Moses has died, and Joshua is now the man. He's in charge. He's the guy. And it's now his job to lead all of the Israelites into the promised land. I mean, they're gearing up. They're toeing the line. They're like getting ready to cross the Jordan. And they're excited. I mean, this is what they've been waiting for generations, and they're going to go in. But before they cross the river, Joshua needs to fully prepare his forces to go in and take over Jericho. Now, the Lord tells Joshua to be strong and courageous, and that he will never leave him or forsake him. Joshua cannot lose. I mean, this is going to be tremendous. But Joshua's like, I need to prepare the forces, so I'm going to send in a couple of spies. And in my head, I kind of picture it like Mission Impossible, you know? Like these spies are all dressed in black, and they got the gear on, and it's like the music's behind them. Dun-t-dun-t-dun-t-dun-t-dun-t-dun-t-dun. And they're like sneaking around looking at stuff. And that's what I picture in my head. And they get into Jericho, and here's what it says. Joshua, the son of Nun, secretly sent two spies. It says, go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. So we're going to be kind of looking at Rahab's story, Rahab's choices that she made for her and her family. And then we're going to look at another story after that about some other choices. It says, the king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab. Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land. I can imagine the two spies were in there like, oh, they're coming, they're coming. Where do we go? Where do we go? And she's like, they're sending people. They saw you come in. But here's what Rahab did. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, yes, the men came to me. She's talking to the guards now that are chasing after these spies. She says, yes, the men came, but I didn't know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. Yeah, they left, and I don't know which way they went, but you should go after them quickly. Just go quickly. You may catch up with them. But she had taken them and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone, the gate was shut. Whew. They didn't catch the spies. They were hidden. And Rahab had made a choice in that moment. She's like, I'm going to hide and protect these guys, because, as we'll see here in just a sec, there's some choices that she's going to make that change her life. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given you this land, and that a greater fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. I imagine that, I mean, she's been thinking about her choices and her life, and now was her chance to redeem that and to make a difference. And there was a lot of fear and anxiety and things going on in the land, and she was willing and ready to change that. She She said, "For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below." She had made her choice right there to follow God. She said, "For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below." And this is where she starts kind of figuring things out. She says, "Now please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them." She's not just thinking of herself. She's thinking generational. She's thinking of her future. She's thinking of everybody that she loves. "Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of them and that will you save us from death." And this is where her choice plays out in verse 14. It says, "Our lives for your lives," the men assured her. They were going to back her up. "If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us this land." So she let them out by a rope, and these guys, they go and they run and hide for a couple of days, and they make it back to Joshua and they tell him what's going down. They departed, and she tied this scarlet cord that they had given in the window. She tied it there so that they would know that this was her house and that everybody in there was protected. And the spies told Joshua, they said, "The Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands. All the people are melting in fear because of us." Rahab knew that this was a defining moment for her and her family. She had a horrible job, and her family was about to die, but she made a choice. She understood and accepted that Israel's God, our God, is the true God of heaven and earth. And to further drive home the importance of this choice that she made for her family, Rahab became an ancestor to Jesus. It's in the line of Jesus. The choices that she made in that moment, through that time, were so significant. It shows that Jesus can use anyone who turns from their former life and entrusts themselves to him. The Israelite story continues as they conquer the city of Jericho. They come in, they take over. And in chapter 6, verse 18 and 19, Joshua gives this command to all of the Israelites. He says, "But keep away from the devoted things." Everybody say devoted things. Yes, devoted things. "So that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it." Verse 19, "All the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury." Sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury. So let's look at chapter 7, just a few chapters later, still in the same timeline. Let's see what happens, what the Israelites did with that command, that urging, that thing that Joshua told them to do. But the Israelites were unfaithful in regards to the devoted things. Man, somebody messed up. He said, "Don't touch it. Bring it here, and we're going to pile it up. We're going to put it in the Lord's treasury." And we already see that, man, somebody has messed up. And it's this man named Achan. Achan of the tribe of Judah took some of them. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel. Achan is the next character that we're going to look at, the next person that we're going to look at that made some choices for his family that didn't turn out quite as well as Rahab's choices. Over the next few verses, we see after Achan makes this choice, this decision, that the Israelites who had the Lord on their side, they're defeated by a smaller, lesser army. And it was so bad, the Bible says that the Israelites' hearts began to melt with fear. When we just heard just a few chapters ago that they were strong and courageous and God was with them, and everyone around them melted in fear when they saw them coming. But now the table has turned. All right, so verse 16, chapter 7 says, "Early the next morning, Joshua had his family come forward, man by man. And Achan was chosen. Can you imagine Achan? He's like sweating. He's just standing there. He's like shaking. He's nervous. He's probably more nervous than I am up here right now. He's pacing back and forth, and he's like, oh, man, this is it. This is it. They're going to figure this out. And it says, Achan replied, or actually, Joshua said to Achan, my son, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and honor him. Tell me what you've done. Do not hide it from me. Man, that's a tough conversation to be in right there, isn't it? Don't hide it from me because the Lord knows and now we know. And Achan replied, it's true. I've sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I have done. When I saw the plunder, a beautiful robe from Babylonia, 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels. I mean, 50 shekels, y'all. I coveted them and took them. They are hidden in the ground inside my tent with the silver underneath. Now, if you have to take something of value and then bury it in the ground, is it really that valuable? His logic and thinking, he just couldn't stop himself. He had to grab those things and keep them for himself. So Joshua sent messengers and they ran to the tent and there it was. Hidden in his tent with the silver underneath. They took the things from the tent, brought them to Joshua and all the Israelites and spread them out before the Lord. Everything was laid out in front of everybody. And God, there it was, Achan's choices that he had made. Then all Israel stoned him. And after they had stoned the rest, they burned them. Over Achan, they heaped up a large pile of rocks, which remains to this day. Then the Lord turned from his fierce anger. Therefore, that place has been called the Valley of Achor ever since. It's not a happy ending to his story. He made some extremely poor choices that weren't for his legacy, that weren't for his family. He thought maybe at the time, oh, you know what, this money will go a long way for my family and nobody will ever know, but we found out different. These two people made choices that affected their families for eternity. Through the choices that I have made, my life and my family's life have changed significantly. Over time, we have discovered the purpose and calling that Jesus has for our lives. And it was because we made a choice to serve the Lord with our family, with our lives, with our business, everything that we do. Joshua 24:15, it's in your notes there. Joshua 24:15 says, then choose for yourself this day. Choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Powerful. Powerful. Because God wants you to choose today. Because everybody must choose. Number one in your notes there, for yourself. And number two, for your family. What if you choose today? What can we do to significantly change us or our families? Well, I want to walk through five habits. Now, these aren't necessarily, they could be game changers, but they're just five habits. There's nothing new, but I kind of want to walk through them, and they're going to be in your notes there. Some things that we could do that could make us help these choices be good ones. Habit number one, this is something that maybe you wouldn't expect a pastor to say, especially from the stage, but attend church. There you go. Attend church as a family. As a church, we are here to help raise your kids and yourself in a godly environment. And we work hard to create an experience where you can enter into the presence of God and where the whole family is ministered to. We work hard for that. Hebrews 10:25 says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We have a great event coming up that we talked about in announcements, but Night of Grace is coming up, and I am so excited for this event, that we are going to get to come together as a church family, with our families, to pray together, to worship together, to have communion together. I think that that is amazing. I think that God blesses those types of events, and that we will see some lives changed and some chains broken, some walls that have been built up, maybe they're torn down, and some families and some relationships. We would love to have you guys here that night, August 14th. It's a Wednesday night. Get here at 6:30, kind of hang out. We'll get rolling at 7, and it's going to be an amazing time of worship. We're really excited. All right, habit number 2, devotions. This one I struggled with for a long time on, like, daily devotions. What do I read? Where do I go? Do I just flip, you know, just like put my thumb on the Bible? Boom, there you go. That's what I'm going to read today. But no, devotions, family devotions and personal devotions. Joshua 1:8 says, "Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." I love that last part because I want to be prosperous and successful. It's our mission this year, our mission and vision in Grace Kids, to build the future. Build the future. And that's a smaller version of it, but we want to build and nurture an everyday faith in the families at Grace Hill. That's something that I repeat over and over and over. Build and nurture an everyday faith in the families of Grace Hill. A sad statistic that I heard a couple of weeks ago that I wanted to share with you is that 60 to 70% of young adults, they're going from the youth into college age, they're leaving the church. And not only are they leaving the church, but they're not coming back. I think that we're missing something. And I believe that it's not allowing our kids to fully understand how God works in their lives. And that we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to transform them into spiritual giants on the inside. And we want to change that here at Grace Hill. Weekly, I send out a parent email. Instead of a handout, I send an email every week that talks about what we did the Sunday before. It goes through everything, the big idea, the verse, the Bible story, and then a little bit of something extra, some questions to sit down and ask your kids and some activities and things like that, just to help foster that relationship, help foster that everyday faith. Now, it's something you can do in a day or you can stretch it out, but I try to make it super creative and fun and look really good. But I send that out every week. That's how I'm trying to partner with parents at this point to help nurture and build an everyday faith in the families. And also our program, we've got scriptures. I find that those have always been helpful to me to help me maybe get started in a devotion. If maybe I don't know where to get started that day, I can turn to my program. So keep those things. And we've got something actually today that I'm going to talk to you guys about that's in your program there. But habit number 3, got devotions, and now prayer. Making prayer a habit. Spending time with God, just talking to Him. I love what 1 Thessalonians 5:17, I know it says 5:7 in your program, but it's 5:17. It's super long and tough to remember, but it says, "Pray continually." Actually, that's pretty simple. It kind of helps me because I'm not real good at memorizing. But pray continually. Okay, I think I can do that. I know that with 3 kids, I'm praying all the time. We actually just sent our oldest daughter, Caitlin, to Florida on a bus trip with a bunch of other teenagers for a fine arts competition. So we have, it's a little bit of relief, a little bit of prayer, kind of an uneasy time, but we know that God's going to minister her, and she's going to minister to other people, so we're super proud of that and happy about that. But for my personal prayer time, something that I have to do is create the environment. I have to create the environment because I'm Captain Distracto, man. I'm like all over the place and thinking about the next thing. I might drink a little bit too much coffee, but don't tell nobody that. So I have to I have to put like worship music on. I get my iPad and I put some Pandora on, and recently I've been just doing it back in the kids' room when nobody's around. I turn the lights down and I'll put the music on and I'll just dive in. And family prayer time is significant. Just taking the time to pray with your wife, your husband, your kids, your mom, dad, boyfriend, girlfriend, coworker. But taking the time for that prayer time with those people. Habit number four. Thought this one was kind of cool, but make memories. Make memories. Get out of the house, people. Let's go to a park. Take a spontaneous road trip. Let's just do something out of the ordinary. Make it significant, but don't force it. How about a family game night, like once a month? I know I love doing that. Michelle loves playing games, right, honey? She loves charades, guys. So just want y'all to know. No, she doesn't. She doesn't. Something that my family does love is food. So I haven't done this, but I want to. I want to do like a. How many of y'all watch Food Network? A few. I want to do like an Iron Chef or like a Chopped type competition where I give the kids like a basket. Oh, here's your ingredients, and I'm like, all right, go make something, and then your mom can try it. She could be the judge, and I could watch, and I could be making my own memories with that. So that's something I want to do. I want to do that. But just something significant. This past week, Michelle, again, I know I keep picking on her, but I love her so much, but she took the kids to Hawaiian Falls. And Michelle's super business, and she's fun too, but something that she did this week, I had to announce to you guys that she actually rode the water slides with the kids. Like, she texted me. I don't know if she was on the water slide when she texted me, but she's like, I rode the thing, and I'm like, are you okay? Are the kids okay? I was nervous. I was like, you know what? Somebody hacked your phone and texted me. Caitlin just texted me right now. She actually rode the rides. And this week, Wednesday, we are leaving to the biggest memory-making place in America, and we're heading to Florida to go to Disney. So I'm looking more forward to the road trip and just with the kids, and we're driving down to Florida and spending a week down there. So we're really excited about this summer and that. So, but even as a church, we are trying to do things, create events and have fun where we can make memories. And recently, 25 of us went to a Ranger game, and that was a ton of fun. I love that. And the unfortunate thing is my youngest, Gracie, she wasn't able to go. She had a cheerleading competition, and she wasn't able to go, but she didn't let me forget about how she wasn't able to go. She was upset because she remembers last year when we went, me and Lucas and her, and she remembers the peanuts and the nachos and the sitting in the crowd and the game and the lights, and she remembers all of that and how much fun it was, and she wouldn't let me forget. Dad, remember that. So she and I, just Gracie and I, and she doesn't know anything about baseball, but she and I are going to go to a game at the end of this month, just she and I, so we can keep that tradition, make those memories even stronger. Habit number five, speak words of encouragement. Speak words of encouragement over yourself and your kids. Let's stop with the negative self-speak. Instead of saying, no, I can't, say, yes, I can. Or I'm no good, say, I am worth it. When we begin to speak words of negativity over ourselves, it spills out into our families. We begin to push those same feelings and anxieties on our kids, our spouses, our coworkers, all the people around us. So speak words of encouragement over yourself and your kids. And this is the last habit that I want to talk about today, but it's also one that I want us to take with us this week. I want to give you a challenge, a little challenge, if I could. Everybody has a program today, right? I don't know if you've noticed, we've got some, like, our little backdrop is a post-it note there, and everybody here has 7 post-it notes in their program. I want everybody to take a program today, 7 post-it notes, because here's what I want to do. I want to give you the, this is what I'm calling, it's very clever, the post-it note challenge. Yes, the post-it note challenge. Now, I'm going to do it myself, all right? But I want you, each day this week, because you got 7 of them, you got 7 that you could choose today to start this, or choose Monday, whatever. But I would like for each and every one of you to write a note, a scripture, a prayer, a promise, just some encouraging words to someone, anyone, your wife, somebody at work who needs to maybe get a little uplifted. They're a little bit down. They need to be up here. They're down here. So I want you guys to this week, maybe your kids needs to know like a scripture verse or a prayer that you have for them. Just write it on there and just put it somewhere where they'll find it. Don't necessarily hand it to them. Like, here's this. Take them. Yeah, that's good. Or walk up to them and stick it right on them. I was thinking I'm going to put, like, well, she's in the room, so she's going to hear this, but I was going to put it on Michelle's dashboard, you know, or maybe on her phone, because that's what she sees, her phone a lot, and she's in her car a lot. So, you know, just places that they could find it. Now, during the school year, I think I want to do this with my kids and put it in their lunch bags. That's another cool thing that we could do. But the post-it note challenge, each day this week, pick someone. Maybe it's the same person all week, but encourage them. Lift them up. And the reason I chose post-it notes is because of the cool story about how they were invented. There was a man at 3M, and he was working on creating a super glue. This is back in the 60s, late 60s, 70s. He was working on creating a super glue, and he put this formula together, and it didn't work. It didn't work. In fact, it was so bad that the glue wouldn't even really stick 2 pieces of paper together. So they kind of scrapped it. But this man was thinking he needed something to, like, for a bookmark or to make notes, and he thought of that glue. And he began to put pieces of paper together and sending notes to people, and they were like, I love this thing, what is it? And he was like, well, let me make it. And so they made it, and that's where post-it notes came from. So I want to take something that was originally a mistake, something that was created that wasn't strong enough to strengthen our relationships, to strengthen our families, to strengthen those bonds. I love that story. I want to use something that was originally a mistake and turn it into something that is amazing. Now, if you take this challenge, I would love to hear any results that you may have. Maybe you have a coworker that changes their day or whatever. You could post it on Facebook. Text us, email us, call us, whatever. We want to hear the stories that come from this, because I know I've gotten some of the most encouraging notes on post-it notes. Walking into my office, and I remember sitting on my desk was this little note, and I still have it, and this was years ago, I still have it, just amazing words of encouragement from a friend. I love it. Now, you may be saying that's all right, that's all good, and that's fine, but I'm too far gone, man. Like, my kids, they don't even, there's no way they'll ever listen to me. Or Jesus will never work in my life like that, or my family. And we need fixing right now. Like, we can't go another day. This is it. But I'm here to tell you that sometimes it takes just a little bit longer than we expect. And sometimes it feels like nothing is working, even though we are choosing today to follow God. I want to give you this illustration that I feel is just a little bit appropriate for taking on these habits. And it has to do, bear with me, with the Chinese bamboo tree. I know, bear with me. Chinese bamboo tree. This is a cool thing. So after the seed of a Chinese bamboo tree is planted, you have to nurture it and water it and take care of it. But the thing is you don't see anything grow except for just a little bitty shoot out of the ground for 4 years. 4 years you're watering and nurturing this plant, and there it is. All you see is just this little bitty shoot. But during those 4 years, all the growth for the Chinese bamboo plant is underground. It's growing this large and massive fibrous root system underground, so that in that fifth year, the Chinese bamboo tree grows 80 feet in 6 weeks. That fifth year, it grows 80 feet. And so many things in our faith and our family life are like the Chinese bamboo tree. You work and you work and you invest time and effort, even weeks and months, and you're like, oh man, nothing is happening. But if you are patient and you lean on the Lord, and you put your faith in Jesus and keep nurturing and growing, that fifth year will come. That fifth year will come. And you will be astonished at the growth and change that you see taking place. I am an example of that kind of growth. I'm an example of that kind of growth. I wouldn't be standing here on this stage if it wasn't for that slow churning and diligent nurturing of my faith. And your story can be the same if you choose today. Choosing Jesus to be my Lord and Savior, my healer and my Redeemer, was a defining moment. And I think for some of you today is the day to make that choice.